name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's just say that when I looked at the lectionary to see what it was I was supposed to preach on, I wasn't exactly weeping with joy. I've been a priest 48 years, so I've preached on this fairly often, and I still don't know that I understand it. So I was thought to myself, especially that bit about go and do likewise. Well, you know, this is about commandments. What do you do with commands? Commands have an effect. It's like that bit in Amos where the plumb line is in there. You put the command down, it tells you how everything else is. Okay, this is a command we're really stuck. Now, it so happens that just because of my work as a teacher and scholar, I have been required to read a good deal of Jewish law, a lot of Talmud and that sort of thing. And it took me a while to realize that, as a matter of fact, this isn't about the Good Samaritan at all. This is a Talmudic argument. That is, it's a couple of rabbis arguing. Well, now that makes considerable sense. Because if you look at it, now, because the guy's a lawyer, that's a bad sign for us, isn't it? but it means literally somebody who's a student of Torah. So here we're talking about passages in the Torah, the first five books of Moses. So, okay, Jesus, you notice, doesn't give the answer. He asks the student of Torah what the commandment, what he must do to inherit eternal life. And he says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Okay, that's from Deuteronomy. He says, then also he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's from the 19th chapter of Leviticus, probably the least favorite chapter by most people today. We all like being told to love our neighbor as ourselves, but most of the rest of the chapter is an extremely unsentimental look at family life, community life, and life together. And we don't like most of that, especially two or three verses in the middle that I won't even name. So, what are we doing? We're talking here about who is my neighbor. Now that sounds like, and apparently the editor thought this meant being a little snarky. That is, the guy was trying to show Jesus up. And no, it isn't. This again is a very Jewish argument. And somebody once asked Jacob Neusner, that's Judaism's answer to the man who never had an unpublished thought. Dr. Neusner is really, I think he may be dead finally, but if so, he's probably publishing from beyond the grave. one of the really stunning Jewish scholars of this century, or the last century. And Dr. Neusner wrote quite a bit about Judaism and the matrix of Christianity and vice versa. Well, somebody asked him once, what he'd do if he met Jesus? And he says, I'd argue with him. Well, that sounds like he was trying to put Jesus down. No, he's doing him honor. He's treating him like a rabbi. So the result is, what we have here is the guy's taking seriously. Okay. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? Now, that isn't a foolish question, because that's really the heart of the matter, isn't it? If you're going to fulfill God's law, you've got to find out what fulfills it and what doesn't. And if you're going to love your neighbor, you've got to find out who the neighbor is. Now, if you look at any degree through the Talmud, and mind you, at this point, it hadn't been written for about 300 years yet, but the tradition was going. And what it is, you look, they argue over the exact meaning of words. Usually it's Rabbi so-and-so said such and such, to the point that your eyes glaze over. But every once in a while they tell a story. And the story is what's called a mashal. And it's usually translated as proverb. So the book of Proverbs is a book of mashalim. But it also means a story or a parable or a sense. Jesus taught constantly with mashals. So, okay, he tells this story about somebody going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, this doesn't mean much to us because most of us haven't been there, but if you have, you'll know that one of the more stunning things is that Jericho is only maybe 10, 12 miles away from Jerusalem laterally, but it's over 5,000 feet vertically. That is, Jericho is one of the deepest points on the surface of our planet, and Jerusalem is about 2,300 feet. So if you start on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho in the wintertime, you start with a parka, and as you go down the road, you're gradually doing striptease till you arrive in Jericho in shirt sleeves, admiring the palm trees. Now, the reason for making that incense is up and down, in this case, makes a difference. So let's say that this story, this guy, pretty clearly Jewish, is going down from Jerusalem, and he gets mugged. And the muggers beat him up and take everything he has of any value and leave him, it says, half dead. Okay, and bleeding. That's crucial. So now we also have a priest. A Kohen. A Kohen is a Jewish priest. He also is going down to Jericho. Now that makes a big difference because he's not going up to minister in the temple. He's going down. It doesn't say exactly but the Levite, but we can probably guess the same thing. And they both give wide berth to this person. Now why? It's because he's bleeding. Blood makes you unclean in Jewish law. The result is, especially if you're a priest or a Levite, you'd be incapacitated for at least a week, being clean. You couldn't work in the temple, you couldn't do anything else that's priestly. So these guys, well, let's not judge them, we just don't know. They have taken a nice way along. And of course, if he died on them, you'd be unclean for a month. So naturally they leave. Now then we get the Samaritans who comes down. Samaritans are considered unclean anyway by Jews. So, but they too observe the Torah. So they might be considered, but this guy does not. He comes up, he anoints the guy with oil, he puts wine on to kill the Jew, the germs, and he binds him up, puts him on his animal, and takes him to his next stop and pays to feed him. Now, Jesus gets back to the original question. You know, there's nothing in this about the Good Samaritan. That I always thought was bothered me when I read it, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But no, there's nothing about saying he's good. He did well. Yeah, Jesus seems to think that's good. But it isn't called good in that sense. So what is this about? It's about who the neighbor is. Remember the question at the beginning that we lost track of? Who is his neighbor? Now, the guy who is, Jesus says, okay, well, who is the neighbor of the guy who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer, the nomikos, the teacher of Torah, says, well, it must be the one who showed him mercy. Now, this struck a hint, I decided, okay, dust off your Hebrew, get out the Hebrew New Testament. It wasn't written in Hebrew, but you can get it, and look and see what it says. And what's the word for mercy? It's the word hesed. Now, it so happens this rang a bell with me, because when I was learning Hebrew, and we got that word in our grammar, it said mercy for faithfulness. And our professor said, don't even translate it. Whenever you see it, just say hesed. I said, yeah? He says, yeah, you'll get the idea. Well, now you find a lot of places where hesed doesn't seem to mean too much, or it means odd things. We sang it in Psalms last night. Who drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. Wow. How about Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever, and slew Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever? Well, let me tell you, this mercy is sounding less and less like a delightful thing, except in each case the word is hesed. In each case, God is showing hesed. Now, what does that mean? Well, eventually you begin to understand that hesed means fidelity to the relationship. That is, God's fidelity to the relationship, partly it's a plumb line because it shows us what's supposed to be, but also partly it is not. It is the thing that is specifically the responsibility, the faithfulness that comes from this particular relationship. Now, the particular relationship to us, in this case, is the relationship between God and the people of Israel, between God and Jesus Christ and all of us as members of his body. So the response is God's hesed toward us, his faithfulness to the relationship he has set up, and our relation friendliness back. Now, this is really, that's what neighborliness is what. The person is the one who shows you hesed, fidelity to the relationship, is your neighbor. Now, the Samaritan kind of throws a bit of a monkey wrench in the whole thing, and there's no time to go into that. But the thing that's interesting is this idea of fidelity to the relationship. Because, you see, all of us have very few neighbors now, if you mean in this classic sense of leaning across the back fence and chatting with them. There are lots and lots of people in our society who don't even know who their neighbors are, or the people in the next apartment. In fact, in Toronto, when I was stationed there, we would watch every morning as the school bus let off the thousands of students heading for the large schools near us, each and every one of whom was chatting with somebody, but not anybody they were next to. They were all yapping away into their tones or their things or their texting away. All of us have hundreds and hundreds of relationships that would count as neighbor in the book of Leviticus, but which wouldn't in almost any other case because there's no physical proximity. And a lot of us are desperately lonely. Now, what I would like to suggest is that loving your neighbor as yourself, first figure out which relationship you're in, and then figure out what hesed is in that relationship. What is fidelity to the relationship? And then love them as yourself. Well, that has the advantage from my perspective of being something still very difficult, but still possible. Not an impossible command. And it's one which will lead to eternal life. So I'd like to say is, go check out your phone directory on your phone. check the people you know around and figure out where your various communities and connections are and the degrees of neighborliness that are needed in each and every case. Follow that together, be faithful to it, receive hesed and show hesed, and you will indeed live for your blessing life. Through the grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, power, dominion, and praise, now and forever.